Matthew chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. Matthew chapter number 5. Man, Pastor Chris was right. What incredible singing. I was listening to that song, that victory in Jesus. What incredible hymns that we're singing tonight. And we know that the Lord has been worshipped this evening. Matthew chapter number 5. As you find your place here in the Word of God this evening, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter number 5. And we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, really be kind of give this foundation for us. And this evening, we're going to head into one of the first Beatitudes, as they are called oftentimes. And once again tonight, let's look at Matthew chapter number 5. And would you please look with me at verse number 1. Matthew 5, verse number 1, the Bible says this. And seeing the multitudes, he, talking about Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Tonight I want to look at this Sermon on the Mount, and really look at this first one, verse number 3. When we head into here, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Let's tonight look at the poor in spirit. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how it guides our life. Thank you, Lord, for how perfect and incredible and awesome it is. That, Lord, each and every day we can dive into it. We can learn more about you. Savior, we can get into it and we can be encouraged, convicted throughout each and every day. Now, Father, as we approach this passage once again, help us to learn. We understand now the twofold application that is here. And Lord, as we make that application to us living in 2021, I ask that it would convict our hearts. Father, that it truly will show us where we need to change in our life. Father, poor in spirit, what does it mean? What did you mean when you gave it? Father, tonight may we learn. May we apply it to our lives. And Savior, may we walk out of this place changing this city more for you. We love you, Father. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we saw this past week, the Bible says he went up into a mountain. It really intrigued us that here is Jesus. He sees the multitudes. He sees the people that are there. And yet he leaves them and goes up into a mountain and begins to teach his disciples. Before Jesus spoke to the mountain, the masses, he went up into the mountain. Before the disciples encountered the crowds, they encountered the Christ. It was from this mount where Jesus gives us this incredible sermon. He begins to give them the Beatitudes. And you and I began to look last week at how much you and I sometimes need to get away from the busyness of life. Get away from the hustle and bustle. Get away from all the things that weigh us down. And at times, we need to get up into a mountain. We need to get alone with our Savior. There's those times that we need to dive into our Bible reading and our devotions and once again begin to draw closer to Him. As we saw this past week, it's not getting into this religious ceremony where we walk through something, we're done, we check it off our checklist, and that's it. But no, we comprehend that getting alone with Christ is getting alone with Him in a way that He is speaking to us. He is guiding us. He is directing us. He is helping us along life's journey, the race that you and I are in. Before we dive into verse number 3, I want us to think about the word blessed for just a moment. Oftentimes in this next passage of Scripture, we're going to see blessed, 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 blessed. I want to take a short look at what we call the Beatitudes. This is a condition or statement of blessedness. Now comprehend and watch very carefully because the next several weeks are not going to make as much sense as they should if we don't get this first kind of foundation. Blessedness, comprehend, is oftentimes in spite of circumstances. Blessedness is a realization. It's not circumstantial. We have often seen or heard where many have substituted the word happy with the word blessed. This often can be a cardinal mistake in our lives if we approach this passage of Scripture, especially given in the context that it's given, and begin to replace that, okay, in order to be happy in life. Now, watch very carefully. We have to be careful that blessedness is often in spite of our circumstances. You see, you can be blessed and not be happy. We are truly blessed even if we are happy or not. We can be down or we can be out or we can be down in the dumps, or circumstances can have us in a type of mode where things are not going the way we think they ought to be going. But this does not mean that you and I are not blessed. You see, there are often times that you and I will go through, well, just periods of life where maybe we would say things are not going our way, or we have a dark cloud over us, or whatever the case might be, whether it be health or whether it be job related, or whether it be relationship related. There are times that we struggle. We go through life and things aren't going the way that we think they ought to be going. But at that moment, you and I have to comprehend that that does not mean that you and I are not blessed. We still have those things in our life that God has given to us that we can look up to Him and say, okay, we're going through tough circumstances, okay? Things might not be going our way. Okay, we understand life is not always fair, but there are things that you and I can still praise our Savior for. The Bible says in Psalm 146 and verse number 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You see, listen very carefully. Bad things, are you ready for this? We don't always want to hear this, but listen. Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things do happen to good people. And circumstances may have us down, but comprehend this. We can still be blessed even though the circumstances of life are not necessarily going our way. Comprehend this. You can be blessed and still not be well physically. You and I hate to see people sick, or even myself personally. I do not like to be sick. I don't like to be down. But spiritual blessedness does not have to do with our physical wellness. If we just simply say, well, okay, I'm in good health, so that means I'm being blessed, and the only time that I'm being blessed is when you and I have good health, and we have to comprehend that there's always those out there that are going to feel better than we are, or are stronger, or faster, or perhaps even healthier than you and I are. There are things, now listen very carefully, that you and I just have to be very careful that as we head into this series, that we're not putting the circumstances of life as that means that we are blessed. There's always somebody that is richer. There's always somebody that has a nicer car or a bigger house. It does not mean, well, I'm just not blessed because I don't compare to so-and-so, or I don't have the car of so-and-so, or I don't have the house of so-and-so, or I don't have the job of so-and-so. No, you and I have to look at our lives as individuals, our relationship with God, and comprehend this, that you and I are a very blessed people. Would you agree with that? Say amen. We are. My goodness, I look at my life, and at times, okay, I mean, I have a Bill Gates type of bank account, and I might not have the intellect of so-and-so, and I might not have this, I might not have that. But friend, may I put it this way? I feel like when I just begin to count my blessings, I'm a very blessed man. We get our eyes off everybody else. We get it on our Savior. We begin to realize that this blessedness that we're seeing here, this is often in spite of circumstances. It's a realization of who God is in our life. And again, the attributes that we're going to deal with, as we saw last week, these ought to be natural or come natural in the life of a child of the King of Kings. This is something that, yes, we look at, but this is something, as you and I get to know Him, these things become more natural in our lives. Now, let's look at the subject of poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Look at verse number 3, if you would, with me. Look what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is poor in spirit? Poor in spirit does not mean a lack of spirit. Poor in spirit, as you and I would look at it, perhaps, and in our English mindset, begin to think, okay, well, this must mean a worthless spirit. No, understand, this is not saying, okay, blessed are the poor in spirit. So if God is saying that there's a blessedness that comes from having a poor spirit, then that means that you and I must be down or out or kind of walk around like, oh, it's all negative and it's all bad and everything negative or bad happens in my life. It's almost this spirit that there's no happiness, there's no joy. No, listen now. It's actually quite the opposite. But what I want us to think about for just a moment is this, that you and I all, if we were honest, we all have something in our life that we could say where we have, it's a blessing from God in our life. How many are saved tonight? Would you say amen? Okay, that's a blessing right there. If that's all we had, that's really all we need. It's our Savior. It's His salvation. So you and I have this Savior. You and I have this Jesus. He lives inside us. How blessed you and I are just to have Him, this relationship with Him. Now understand, you and I say this, okay, we have at least one thing, and that's salvation tonight that we can praise our God for. Now if that's all we had, that's all we need. It's Jesus. But comprehend, watch, that is enough in our life to lift our spirits. Now comprehend. It doesn't matter what you and I are going through in life, and there's hard times. Death on this earth is not easy. Losing a loved one is not easy. Going through cancer is not easy. Going through the circumstances that we've gone through, even as a church, over the last 4 or 5 months, it has not been easy. But comprehend, it does not mean that we are not blessed. We still have a Savior that is sitting on the throne. You and I are still going to live with Him for all of eternity. Therefore, watch now, that is enough for you and I to have a spirit that is not the mindset we're thinking of. Oh, it's poor spirit. Oh, woe is me. Boy, nothing goes my way. Boy, have you seen what our president's doing? Boy, did you watch CNN? Did you watch Fox News? Did you watch CBS? Boy, did you see what's happening? Did you see what so-and-so said on Facebook? Boy, did you see the compromise? Boy, all of a sudden we start thinking about all these negative things, and we start living this life that is, you check it out, listen, oh, woe is me. Now, it's a Sunday night crowd, so let's do it this way. Nobody wants to be around an Eeyore. How many know who Eeyore is? Would you raise your hand? Okay. I'd say most of us know who Eeyore is. Somebody goes, oh, I didn't even like watching Winnie the Pooh when Eeyore was on there. Like, good grief, man. It's just all down, oh, it's me, oh, it's rain, oh, it's hot outside, oh, air conditioning's not working, oh, I got this sore, this spot on my back, check it out, oh, did you see, oh, they kicked me, oh, it's just always down. Now listen, if that's the life of a Christian, why would the lost world want what we have? If our attitude towards church is always complaining and always fighting and always bickering and always upset and always things didn't go my way and oh, I didn't like this and I don't like the way they do that and I don't like the way they change this and I don't like, I don't like the PowerPoint this evening and I don't like how Pastor went over this morning and I don't like this. And if that's all we do is complain about church, let's just shoot straight this evening. Why in the world would anybody who is lost want what you and I have? Because honestly, what we have, if that's all we have is just complaining and negative, the lost world is never going to want it. But when you and I stop having this spirit that's, oh, woe is me, and start having a spirit like we saw this morning, I'm not going to ask Brother Geiger to do it once again, but as we came up here and we chest bumped, we were excited, and it's great and it's wonderful, and man, we got a Savior, and He died, He sacrificed, and He raised, He was risen from the dead, He gives us life, and He gives us joy, and He gives us happiness, and He gives us peace, and we get to come in, and we get to hear the orchestra, and we get to lift His praise, and we get to sing victory in Jesus, and we get to have that victory over sin, and we don't have to deal with the negativity and the bitterness and the anger, and man, that joy and that happiness that our Christ gives us. Listen, friend, when we start getting excited about the things of God, the surrounding area is going to get excited about the things of God. They're going to want what you and I have. They're going to want that peace. They're going to want that joy. They're going to check it out. They're going to want that marriage. She's understanding. Yeah, they're going to want that marriage. I want to be happy like they are. I'm going to be married, for some of you in here, 50 plus years, 60 plus years you've been married. When I look at that, that's what I want. children that are serving God and get it to college age. And man, this past week, I heard from three of our college students, three, unprovoked, just text, "Pastor, I love you. I'm praying for you." Excuse me, friend. Some parents did something that was right in those kids' lives. They're thinking about home. They're thinking about their pastor. They're thinking about the things of God. To be honest with you, I want that in my kids. The outside world is going to want what you and I have. But if we come in and we just kind of sit back during the song service, "I heard an old, old story. My Savior came from glory and gave his life on Calvary. It's good to see you, S.A." Should I go on? If I'm a visitor and come in and sit beside somebody like that, "How long have you been going to church here?" "I've been going to church here for about 15 years. "You're not very excited about this church." "I'm very excited about the church. Sure doesn't show." "Say, Pastor, you getting on to us?" "Not at all. I sit up front. I don't even know if you sang or not. I sat up here with Nora, and where'd Nora go?" "Oh, she moved. Nora, you were over here. Nora and Tommy, we sang the song tonight. We're blessed." You know, the surrounding area ought to know we're excited about the things of God. Every teenager in this room this evening, there's a lot of teenagers, a lot of little kids in here tonight. Do you know something, parent? They ought to see, and this is getting off course, but my sermon's actually short tonight. So every time I tell Carrie that, it always goes long. So strike that. Just leave it out. But comprehend. Our kids and our teenagers, they ought to see adults get in the car and still be excited about the things of God. Carrie, if you and I get in the car and all we do is complain all the way to church, and all we do is get in the car and we complain all the way home from church, five kids are listening to that, and we're going to be scratching our head when they're 18. They want nothing to do with church. We're thinking, man, what did we do wrong? Tramp a child the way she go. We did all our part. No, I'll tell you what we did wrong. We complained about the things of God in their ear. And then, what do we expect? I'm sorry, what do we expect? Poor in spirit is not this spirit of, "Oh, yeah, okay, finally, man, I'm going to be blessed because this is the life I live. Complain, complain, nothing goes right. Nobody treats me right. Nobody treats my family right. Nobody does it my way. Nobody cares about me. Oh, I'm telling you, I don't even know why I'm in this world." Let's be honest. That's not what we're talking about this evening. Listen very carefully. Poor in spirit has a definition of humility before God. It means humility instead of haughtiness. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 10, "For whosoever exalteth himself," look at me, look what I've done, "shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." A poor in spirit has a definition of humility towards God. It's recognizing who we are and what he has done. You and I can act like we're the man. You and I can act like we know it all. You and I can act and rely on our intellect and our money and look at me and look what I've done and look what I've accomplished. But understand this, outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, really, what are you and I? The Bible says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith," listen very carefully, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." God resisteth the proud. God goes against those that are haughty, those that lift themselves up, those that it's my way or the highway, those that would say this, "Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but thumb on you, thumb nose in the air. God, I'm going to do what I feel like is right." Maybe again, maybe it's not a proverbial fist in the air, but it's still living a life of, you know what, I'm going to do it my way no matter what the Holy Spirit or the Word of God says. And to be honest with you, friend, I don't want God going against me. I need him in my life every step of the way. But the Bible's clear. He resisteth the proud. He goes against. There's a pushing. I don't want to ever get to a place in my life where I think I can take on God. His friend, I cannot. This is being said. Neither can you. He's resisting. The poor in spirit has this connotation of being used in a way that, listen, comprehend, it's humility before God. Before you and I ever come out and begin to brag on, we just had a deacon's meeting this afternoon, and it was a great deacon's meeting. I just praise the Lord every time. And deacon's meetings at Crosspoint Baptist Church, they're not scary, they're not awful, it's not battle back and forth, and we come out with black eyes. It really is, to be honest with you, just incredible symmetry there. It's a brotherly love, it's a praying together. But deacons, let's be honest, for all of, I think it's 12 or so in that room, that Pastor Chris, Pastor Blake, myself, and Mr. Carlson, for all the men that are in that room tonight, listen very carefully, leaders of this church, may we never get to a place where we think we have arrived when it comes to ministry. May you and I never come in and, look what we've done. Well, look at our bank accounts. So look what we've accomplished. And even we praise the Lord. There's a lot of updates. And I know colors don't match right now. And we don't even have baseboard in here right now. It's driving us. But nonetheless, okay, we're updating. We're getting to a place. We're going to have a, check it out. We're going to have a coffee shop in our church. That's wonderful. We got a brand new parking lot paid for cash out there. Are y'all happy about that? Say amen. It's incredible. But let's be honest. It was God that allowed you and I to work to get the money that we had to tithe off of, to give back to Him, to accomplish what He has accomplished right here at Crossville Baptist Church. God forbid we ever get to a place where we just say, well, the church sounds great. Well, I heard they had to shut their doors. And boy, we've been doing good. We've been baptizing and we've had people saved. And look what we have done. No. It's not look what we have done. It's look to the Lamb. Look what God has done and accomplished. I love talking to parents sometimes, and I'm always asking questions. Carrie and I both, we're asking questions this afternoon. And, what did you do different? What would you do different? How could you do this? And I love talking to parents that ultimately just, they water it all the way down. And here's what they say. Listen, by the grace of God, my kids are what they are. The glory goes to Him. Whether we use our voice to sing, or whether we use our talents up here in an orchestra, or whether we use our talents in the nursery or back there or a greeter, or it doesn't matter what you and I do. May you and I always be exalting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch very carefully. Poor in spirit has a definition of submission to God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 10, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. It has this, once again, this foundation, poor in spirit, of submission to God. No matter what He wants you and I to do, it's submitting to His ways. It's submitting to His design. It's submitting to His will. It's submitting to His, and this is difficult at times, but it's submitting to His timing. Congregation and I, try this week. Listen, as a family, try not to make a decision without asking Him first. Let's make a decision without putting God on a timeline. Poor in spirit is submitting to what He has for our life. It's oftentimes this past year, getting to know the congregation. And there were oftentimes seniors were coming in the office and we're praying together. And I'm always telling them, what are we going to do? What are you going to do next with your life? And what do you feel like you're going to do? And what do you enjoy? What's your dreams and aspirations? This, that. And I always point it back to the parents. Get advice from your parents and in the multitude of counselors share his safety. But listen very carefully. Watch. I always try to, in a young person's life, lead them to, no matter what your dreams and your aspirations and what you want to do with your life, always look to God and what God wants you to do, submit to His will. How many adults agree with me? That's the best way. Amen? It always, there is no better way but to submit to the very will of God. Now watch. But as adults, we must do the same. We have to submit to Him. There's things we want in our life. And to be honest with you, I'll put it on myself. Sometimes I can be very impatient. I want things and we just need it done right now. We need to get Brother Titus. We're trying to stripe our parking lot. It was supposed to be done and it was not done at a certain time. I was getting a little impatient. Like, they better get this thing striped. You know, how many more times Brother Brian's got to blow off the leaves out there? I mean, good grief. How many times do you attend just to get ready for it? I'm a little bit impatient. Like, come on, let's get it done. Let's get it right now. The, you know, painting that's coming along. I'm not ragging on anybody. It just takes a lot of times, a lot of holes to fill. We got to get there. But I'm kind of like one of these, hey, we picked out a color. Tomorrow should be done, right? No, it does not always go that way. It takes these things take time. You know, in our life, truly, honestly, there are things we just have to wait on God's timing. But this is where we get ourselves in trouble, is when we jump in front of His timing. We don't have time. You know what? We got it. Curious, last Wednesday? Yeah, this past Wednesday, we left early. We were going to church, and we said, yeah, well, we don't have time. We got everything going on. I rushed back. I threw on a suit coat, and we jumped to the car, and we said, we're just going to go through Burger King real quick. Let's just go through Burger King, and let's get the kids something. We don't hardly ever do this before church. We're like, let's just go to Burger King, you know, have it your way, and let's get a burger, and then we'll head over to church. And we left. It's probably, what, 5:55, 6 o'clock? We're out the door. We get in line. Why are you laughing? This is a true story, right? Am I getting this wrong? I don't know why. Tell me later. Anyways, we get in the car and we go, and now I'm really struggling with this story. I hope I'm telling the truth. I'm pretty sure I am. Okay, good. So we get in line at Burger King. Yeah, Burger King. Yes. It was Burger King woman. Now listen, and we get in line there, and it was taking too long. And I'm sitting there, I'm kind of getting impatient, so, you know, I get out my iPad, and I start looking over my sermon, and Carrie just knows me, she's my wife, she just knows me, and she knew I was, like, on the edge. And she's like, honey, if you just want to go across the street to, what's the gas station, Speedway, I'll go in there and get something. So I did, I put it in drive, and I couldn't go forward, and I could not go backward. We were stuck. But for some reason, the car behind me saw me put on the reverse lights, and they moved real quick. I think they could see the steam in the car. They moved, went across. And to be honest with you, I'm just impatient. Like, I got to go. I got to get to church. They're already open up. Brother Fulford needs help. I got to get there. We got to get this going. And stay impatient. Now, watch very carefully. When you're in line with God, be careful about getting out of line. Food, big deal. God, you better be very careful. For all the juniors, I know we don't have very many seniors in here. It's just a smaller senior class. But juniors and seniors in high school, let me talk to you for just a moment. Be real careful about putting a timeline on your life with God. Just go ahead and empty yourself and give it all to God. Just go ahead and empty it all. Adults in here tonight, excuse me, it's for us too. Time to submit and have a poor in spirit, and submitting to the will of God, that means this. Getting rid of the things that you and I are holding on to. Empty ourselves. You know what empty means? That means like taking a cup, taking the lid off, and emptying ourselves so that God can fill it up with Him, Himself, God, spiritual things. You know what we like to do? Oh God, look how spiritual I am. I'm gonna give you a little bit there. I'm gonna hang on to my time a little bit, hang on to my money a little bit, hang on to this. Lord, I'm ready to submit, but there's just some things. My kids, I'll give you maybe one or two, but I'm gonna hang on to the rest if you don't mind. And no. Here's what God wants us to do. Poor in spirit is submitting, emptying ourselves. The first one is understand it's not a haughty spirit. It's not a proud spirit. A humble spirit is getting down. Check this out. Getting down and saying, God, it's not about me. It's all about you. And boy, when you get in this position, it's then saying, God, I'm not going to just keep it. God, I'm going to give you all of it. Everything. Friend, you watch a youth group that gives their everything to God, and you just watch out. They will turn a church, a city, a county, a state upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Poor in spirit, number three, has a definition of contentment with God. Philippians 4 and verse number 11 says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Poor in spirit has the attitude of being content with God. Being content with God is really it's a blessing. You want happiness in your life? Be as Paul and be one that is content with the things that God has given us. I mean, just for a moment, we have to stop looking around and comparing with what everybody else has. to be honest with you, it does no good in our life. Somebody gets something new, be very happy for them. One of my dear friends in life just happened to buy a new car, and it happens to be a car that is a Mercedes that I really, really love. And I'm over there with this friend, and I'm looking at their car. Man, this is incredible, and this is great. Now listen, I can even have the attitude of like, I'm very happy for you in the way that God has blessed you. And or I can have the attitude of, my, wish I could have a car like that. Boy, it sure must be nice. To be honest with you, that is fair to no one to have that type of attitude. God's been good to us. It's always been good. Well, I wish I could have. Do you comprehend how good God is? Some people, yes, we all work hard. We're all blessed. And never forget, I told this story once, and I think Matt and Susan, you probably have hundreds of these stories, but being in Africa for so long. But I never forget when I was young going to the mission field, and I'm just going to put a plug in here, and they'll move right along. We're really going to work at Cross Point Baptist Church and bringing in missions trips. I want you to pray about that with me. We need, right now I know it's hard and COVID and whatnot, but God's bringing us a mission field here. But I'm telling you, get a young person. I'm not talking about a mission trip to South Carolina. I'm talking about overseas somewhere, third world country, and get them there and get their eyes open and say, it changes their life. Changes their life. You pray with me that we could start getting trips together and maybe once or twice a year. And I've asked some of you to really start praying and fasting with me about this. But in my life and in my wife's life, we both, I believe, are in ministry today, partly, Brother Matt, I think you'd agree with this, partly because we saw a foreign field and our eyes were open at what takes place there. But I'll never forget, I was 16, took my first trip to Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Laos, Thailand. At that time, Laos was a very close country. We're helping smuggle John and Romans into the country. And long story short, I was over there, and one day I just happened to see. I mean, we're talking about orphans that have absolutely nothing. When I say nothing, they are wearing the clothes on their back, and usually it was just a pair of Adidas shorts or Nike or something that America had given them, and that's all they had in life. No shoes, most of the time no shirt, they had nothing. And I watched one day, it's a 16-year-old, I watched one day and walked over, and here's these kids, and they had a straw that you would drink from a drink, and they all had one straw. And they would take trash and they would tie it. You would listen to this, kids. Listen. They would tie that trash to that straw. Then they would go and they would stick it on the side of the road. Now I realize it most likely was probably sewer that would run through the streets, but it was just muddy, disgusting water. And they would take that straw and they would put it down in there, one on this side, one on the other. And they would count down, however they counted down there in Laos. They would count down, and they would take another piece of trash. They'd go, and they would fan as fast as they could. And everybody's cheering. They're all laughing. And they would just fan it as fast as they could until one of their little makeshift boats out of straws would cross the finish line. And they would, like me and Coach Yider, they'd jump up and down, a fist bump. Yeah, and they're going out watching. They'd go to the next round. And I'm telling you, as a 16-year-old, that affected my life. Here I am, I'm going to go home, and I have three bicycles, and I've got at that time a Super Nintendo, and I've got all this, and I've got books, and I've got TV, and I've got VCRs and all this. And oh, just, Mom, Dad, there's nothing to do. And here's some little kids content with trash on a street. Friend, you and I got to be very careful that we don't live this Instagram life of, well, my friends got, they got this, boy, they're just more blessed. And, well, guys, God has made us and designed us, and we're here. And to be honest with you, living in America, we still live in an incredible nation, and you and I are blessed. Listen, friend, may we live a life of contentment, being content. It's this humbleness. It's been living this life where we're giving to God what is His. We're submitting to His will. Poor in spirit, it's this contentment with God. But watch very carefully. We're almost done tonight. Poor in spirit has a definition of thanksgiving toward God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." A thankful attitude is an encouraging attitude. Being thankful will push us to stop complaining. And being poor in spirit is realizing who He is and what He did. And it's a thankfulness in our heart. It's a realization that you and I have a Savior that died. And that you and I have that free gift of salvation. And poor in spirit has that thankfulness towards God at what He has done, what He continues to do, and what He will do in our life. Now, we're not going to go around the room tonight, but Thanksgiving's coming up. We have an incredible Thanksgiving service planned. The Herbster families will be here with us, Mark and Mike and the dad and their families are going to be singing for us. It's going to be a great night. When we come to Thanksgiving, oftentimes, Carol, we do, whether with your family or with the Shepherd family, we get around the table. Let's go around the table and let's tell everybody what you're thankful for. You know, I'm thankful for, you know, when it's kids, trees, the fruit that grows on the trees. I'm thankful for, you know, just little things. But, you know, when you get to the adults, all of a sudden it starts to slow down. Have you ever been in one of those services where somebody almost starts crying? Just so thankful what God's done. You know, we don't have to wait until one day a year to thank Him for what He's done. We can thank Him right now. You see, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch, and listen very carefully. For theirs is the kingdom of, heaven. Now watch very carefully. Verse number 3. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to recognize, listen to the wording here, our poverty so that He can make us rich. He wants us to recognize our lowliness so that He can raise us up. James is saying, listen, humble yourselves therefore in the sight of God, that He is going to be the one that is going to exalt you. In giving up your own kingdom, the poor in spirit inherits God's. When you and I give Him what little bit we have, He pulls up and begins to dump out a blessing. When you and I think, wow, my goodness, okay, God, I'm going to give to You. I guess I'll tithe. Okay, let me get out my little teaspoon here and let me give some to You and let me go ahead and serve You. Okay, God, You said to give You what we think is ours, and we're just going to go ahead and give it to You. So here's what we do. We pull out our spoon and we think it's so much. Here, God, here it is. You know what God does? Begins to heap it back on us. Not with the spoon. And not with the shovel. Not the little pickup truck. Now He's got to open up the windows of heaven. Back that semi on up here. And unload it on my child. We begin to give what is His. Watch now. We are giving up what little bit we have. And God, look now. He begins to allow us to see the blessings, the encouragement that only God can give you and I. What is it that you and I are hanging on tonight? Oh, it's mine. Oh, I need it. Oh, this is it. No, no. Tonight, you and I just be poor in spirit. Let's get humble for a moment. Let's submit to Him. Let's release and give it back. Watch now. Let's have a thankful heart. Dads, when's the last time we are at an altar and just thank God for what He's done in our life? Moms, when's the last time we stepped out, just came down and said, God, thank You so much. I really am blessed. Circumstances tough, without a doubt. Maybe you've gone through a death of the family, maybe a divorce in the home, maybe some heartache, maybe some really tough health issues. Nonetheless, why don't we put all those circumstances aside for a moment? Look to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and just say, thank You. Blessed are the poor in spirit.